5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wendy Bell. Inspiring solutions to save America. One show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program on the clock. Remember our podcast. We have 2 million people out there walking around with our podcast downloaded onto their phone. Why don't you join them? Wendy Bell Radio. Just search it wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Get us on your device and take us with you wherever you go. Thank you. You know, I am a Californian. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. I live in Calabasas, which is, if you know the area or you're involved with People Magazine, it seems like everybody and his brother now who's a celebrity lives in Calabasas, California. Was not that way when I was growing up. Is now. Steve Garvey lived nearby. Being a Dodgers fan, going to games with my folks. There's something that's very different, and you hear it in people like Steve Garvey. There's something very different about conservatives versus liberals. There's not that pettiness. There's not that aha, got you. We just played a clip for you moments ago of MSNBC, and Joy Reid was talking about how Republicans are racist. That's the problem. All Republicans are racist. And then one of the women on the panel said something about Donald Trump and the color of his hair not being natural. You know, I don't have time for that. I'm a busy woman. I got 2 jobs. I've got 5 kids. I've got a husband who's a doctor who needs a lot of help from me at home, right? I do a lot. I don't have time for petty. I want results. I want people I can depend on. I want people who don't lie to me. But more than anything, I just want somebody who's decent. Steve Garvey yesterday advances in the California Senate race. This is the first time since 1988, right? This is huge. Since Pete Wilson, this is huge. He advances along with Adam Schiff to the general election for that Senate seat to take the place of Dianne Feinstein. But what I heard in his speech yesterday, I'm not going to play it for you. He's in Palm Desert, which is where he lives now. Beautiful, my gosh. And he's standing on stage. He's got the California flag behind him. Beautiful flag. You've got the American flag on the other side. You have his wife, people who I presume are his sons. Guy's 75 years old, right? He has adult sons. And he says, you got to believe. Is this the great California comeback? And then he respectfully congratulates Adam Schiff, who is a champion dirtbag. There are a few people I might lunge out of my seat to try to throat punch if I'm feeling really sassy. He's one of those people, right? And Steve Garvey congratulates Adam Schiff on his win and says in a very mature way, you know, we will see you in November. We have a lot of work to do. And then beyond respectful, he congratulates Barbara Lee, who's a freaking Marxist, right? And Katie Porter, who's just a lunatic, congratulates them on basically being eliminated from Congress. You guys rolled the dice. You came up short. You're packing your bags. They're kicking you out at the end of this term. Sayonara. Good luck. But he does it in such a beautiful way. Good job for them. Congratulations, and I wish you only the best. This story, though, is legit. And I want to bring up this. I want to bring up the map that I can see for you. So in the California U.S. Senate primary, again, this is filling Feinstein's seat, Adam Schiff got 34.6% of the vote. Steve Garvey, 32.3%. 32.3. This is statistically a dead heat. Look at the places where Steve Garvey has won. Literally everywhere except San Francisco, San Jose, Los Angeles. It's the same thing as Pennsylvania, right? You look at Pennsylvania, 67 counties. 60 of them went to Trump. But when you lose Philadelphia, Allegheny, Erie, maybe a couple others, right? The majority, the will of the people. You're seeing it. You're watching this. Garvey did even better in the special election portion of the election, which is to fill the remainder of Feinstein's term. Even closer, 33.7% for Steve Garvey, 31.4% for Adam Schiff. California. Have you had enough? Have you had enough of the lunacy? This is the state that has openly told you from the mouth of the governor that you don't matter. But that if transgender children who want to run away from another home somewhere else in another state, come to California. We've got you. Doors open wide. You want to be a migrant? You're a migrant who comes across? Come on in. We've got endless services for you. As these once beautiful cities like San Francisco are now Democrat hellscapes, where big business has left, just like New York City, where they've lost $1 trillion in investment. And that was before they went after Donald Trump. Look, crazy only lasts for so long, right? We all have that moment of no more. Oh, hell no, no more. And yours might be different than mine, but America has reached satiety. It is time to move along. I want you to hear the meltdown. The meltdown. Steve Garvey moving on to the Senate race. I mean, it's so amazing. It's great. And he's a conservative guy. He's a grandpa, right? He's a conservative. He believes in the values that you believe in. Stay the hell out of my life. I don't want a big government. I don't want big taxes. I want to be alone. I want to live the way I want to live. I don't care who you love. I don't care what you do. Don't make me pay for it. Stay away. Jake Tapper and John King on CNN. It is 2 minutes. It is worth every freaking second. They can't even believe what is going on. Donald Trump, they say, has remade the party. No! No! MAGA has. Go.
The map tells you what you need to know. The delegate count tells you what you need to know. The percentage of it has actually jumped up even more. It's 88% of the delegates, so you're looking at the percentage. Donald Trump cannot mathematically clinch tonight, but he can get within 100 or so. Of what he needs, and he can do that next week. And so what you have here is, you know, he has remade the party in his image. There are still some Republicans who are trying to take it away, like take it back. Right? That's over. There's no back. That party doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
It
Boom.
Just doesn't. You know, it just doesn't. Look at the House of Representatives. Look at what's happening in the United States Senate. Mitch McConnell stepping aside. And some of the more governing conservatives trying to keep their power even just within the Senate Republican conference. This is a new Republican Party. And so you have a very formidable Republican frontrunner who has remade the party in his image. And I know a lot of people at home are asking, well, wait a minute. We all saw January 6th. Wait a minute. Innocent until proven guilty, but there's all these cases. He has convinced them he won the last election. Never mind anything that happened since then. A majority of these voters are going to the polls in most of these states still saying that, you know, Donald Trump should be president. Yeah. And so this is his party. And again, sometimes I think you have to stop talking. Just look. This is his party. And he is on a march to the nomination. That does not mean if the general election were tomorrow, there's a lot of data that suggests he would win
right
at this moment in time. It is not tomorrow. It's 8 months from now. So you have two very strong front runners who both have very significant weaknesses. And then you have the question of the third party candidates, which I raised earlier.
And so the weaknesses come in the sense of in very much the way you're talking about how he is reforming the Republican Party. Right. More working class people, including voters of color, right, African-American men primarily, but also Latinos. And also the Democrats picking up more educated voters. Right. There's also, so you talked about the education divide. Also a big gender divide.
Yep.
Men voting Republican, women voting Democrat.
It's what I've said. White, by and large, college-educated liberal women. The scourge. The scourge of this country. Period. And it sort of seems like they know it. When we come back, Charles Barkley stepping in, a little bit of racism of his own. What? What is he thinking? Wait for it next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. All right, so we stumbled upon this sound. Gayle King and Charles Barkley have a show on CNN. It's called King Charles. Whatever. It's Gayle King, Charles Barkley. Okay, whatever. And it says freewheeling and authentic conversations around the week's most interesting stories. Well, that's a swing and a miss in a big way, or in Charles Barkley's world, it's a major airball, okay? So they're responding to something that Charles Barkley heard Donald Trump say in February in Columbia, South Carolina. And he's talking to the audience there about the Black community understanding his plight with all of these indictments, and even going so far as to wearing shirts with his mugshot on them. And Donald Trump is saying, like, I'm mystified, right? But I'm not. And he says, look, I got indicted for nothing, for something that is nothing. They were doing it because it's election interference. Then I got indicted a second time, and then a third time, and then a fourth time. And a lot of the people said that's why the Black folks like me, because they'd been hurt so badly and discriminated against. They actually viewed me as I'm being discriminated against, he says. And that's what he was talking about, okay? I'm blown away by this, he says. But I get it, because they've been persecuted and they've been wrongly persecuted for far too long. And so they commiserate with me, and there's a connection. That's unacceptable for Charles Barkley. He's going to lose his mind sitting down and talking to Gayle King about this. You got to hear audio soundbite number one, because if anybody said this anywhere else, they would be fired. They'd be branded a racist. They'd be branded a bully. But apparently, if you're Black and you're Charles Barkley, I guess you can do anything on CNN. Go.
And you know who embraced it more than anybody else? The Black population. It's incredible. You see Black people walking around with my mugshot. You know, they do shirts.
When you heard that, what did you think? Big sigh.
First of all, I'm just going to say this. If I see a Black person walking around with Trump mugs, I'm gonna punch him in the face.
Charles.
No, Gayle.
You really can't say that, because A, you don't mean that.
I mean that sincerely. I'm gonna just tell you something.
And then you will be arrested for assault. And then what?
I'm gonna bail myself out and go celebrate.
That's so immature. It's not funny. It's gross. If I see a Black person walking around with Donald Trump's picture on their shirt, I'm gonna punch him in the face. And that's okay. And people, probably it was the guy working the camera, right? And he's laughing. That's not funny. How's that funny? Can you imagine? First of all, can you imagine thinking that? Can you imagine and then can you imagine saying that? And then think about the what would happen fallout-wise if you did. He's not done that. He said, if I was at that conference, so he's at this Black Conservative Foundation conference, and he's talking to people who obviously, Black people, by the way, folks, are inherently conservative. They share conservative views. That's not debatable. The Black community is conservative. They feel the way we feel about almost everything. And so here's Charles Barkley. If I was there, I would have done this and this and that. Listen.
First of all, if I was at that...
at that conference, yeah.
I'd have got up and walked out. That was an insult to all Black people.
How?
Because he's basically just saying... And first of all, to compare Black history where we've been discriminated against to his plight...
Yes.
Well, first of all, he's a billionaire. Mm-hmm. And they're prosecuting him for stuff he did wrong.
These people on the left cannot stand winners. They can't stand people who are happy, who are wealthy, who have adjusted children, who are productive members of society, who enjoy their lives, who smile, who have enthusiasm, who love, ooze love for this country. They hate that. Donald Trump wasn't equating Black people wearing his mugshot with anything regarding Black history. Not at least what I read. He was saying they can associate with me because they feel like they've been under the thumb of the law and of government for far too long. Charles Barkley, you hack. But he continues, and this is the part I love. He's going to talk about all of the things that Donald Trump has done wrong, none of which has been demonstrably proven. Unfortunately, Charles Barkley is not terribly educated. Go.
They prosecuted him for stuff he did wrong. And for him to compare...
It's still in the court system, Charles. We have to wait. It's still in the court system. But continue.
Well,
continue.
Some of the stuff is true. They did storm the Capitol. Well, they did say that the election was stolen. Those aren't lies, Gail.
It was.
They did say that. They did say that.
But to compare... I would have got up and walked out because it's not a fair comparison. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a billionaire. He's had a great life. He's been president of the United States. To insult Black people who have been discriminated against all these years, to put them in the same category, I was just offended.
Can you step outside of the prism of race for a minute, Charles, and realize that the only thing that the CNN audience got out of that interview is that you don't know what the crap you're talking about. Look, the people who refuse to do any of their own research, the people who fell for all the narratives about COVID and the vaccine, the people who fell for all the narratives about make sure kids are at home or when they're playing basketball, put masks on them because that makes sense. The people who said, you know what? We need to protect your loved ones in nursing homes so they can die afraid and by themselves, right? I blame you, Charles Barkley, because you're one of those voices. Think critically, Charles. Do your homework and then you'll realize that ain't going to age well for you, my man. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, secret flights of migrants. Really? It's next. You know, I think it speaks volumes about where we are mentally, priority-wise, common sense. When you look at that exit polling from Super Tuesday, we shared with you about an hour ago, that submitted the number one overarching issue for Republicans right now is this debacle of immigration. I mean, the ripple effect of a mass invasion. And we can get into the nuance of the individual stories coming across, but it is not our jobs to pay for everybody else to come to this country and realize the American dream. We worked for that. The people who came before us died for that. That's sacred. And the Democrat Party has completely sullied that. And conversely, then, Democrats, when polled, leaving Super Tuesday polling places, their number one issue, the hill they want to die on, is abortion. I mean, fundamentally, at the base level of that argument, those things are not compatible. There is no bridging that. I want to kill my baby. Well, I want people not to invade my country and put all of us at risk. I mean, where are we? Because if you're going to be a single issue voter, you get the country of suck that you voted for. Thank you very much. But this immigration thing, we all know what the story is. And it will one day come out. The same way the story about COVID will all unravel. All of the players. It'll be woefully too late. And I'm not going to feel any kind of vindication or celebration when I'm like, told ya. Because anybody with common sense can see what's going on. It's Cloward Piven. It's the two sociologists from the 60s saying that in order to overthrow a democracy, which ostensibly we are supposed to have a constitutional republic, but we call it a democracy, you need to overload it. You need to absolutely punish the social services, run them into the ground, create overflow and filth and desperation and addiction and need. The Democrat Party is predicated on you needing them. And that allows them to continue getting bigger and bigger and spending more and more money and driving the country further and further into debt. I mean, this is not rocket science. I'm just a mom. I could see it, right? It's not hard. But what they've done, the cavalier treatment of Lincoln Riley's murder, the disdain for people who don't vote the way they do on MSNBC last night, making fun of how Republicans say immigration is their number one concern because it makes us unsafe, because we're struggling enough as it is, because our dream does not involve paying for people we're not related to, people who don't love America. Some of them might, but it's all wrong. There's no other way to explain it. And this headline, it's not just about the punishing crush at the border. It's not just about the people who are dying along the way because they can't keep up. It's more than that little 10-year-old boy who, I swear to you, haunts me. Who, through his fear and tears, being found by a border agent walking by himself in the Rio Grande Valley, scared to death, and doing that cry where he couldn't catch his breath. We've all been there. A little boy. There's no appreciation of life. There's no celebration of the creation of it. There's a pill to get rid of it or a quick procedure. But what happened to that miracle? Because once it starts in you, you're never the same. You're just not. So when I saw this headline, Biden administration admits flying 320,000 migrants secretly into the U.S. to reduce the number of crossings at the border. We talked about this 2 years ago in this very studio. We were talking about flights in the middle of the night landing in Erie, Pennsylvania. Erie, Pennsylvania is not far from where I broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Who are these people? Don't ask. Need to know basis. But when your tax bill comes, you're going to feel it. A lawsuit reveals Biden's Customs and Border Patrol refusing to disclose airports where it's flying undocumented aliens from other countries. Whatever happened to that most transparent administration ever? Hey, Charles Barkley, where are you, bruh? To quote my girlfriend, Joy Reid, where are you, Charles? Do you see what's going on? As you are obsessed with race? Do you not see that you're being replaced? That the Democrat Party has done its time with you and the black community. It's time to move along. Find a new victim class to prioritize, to set us with the bill for. Well, here you go. Biden's expansion of the CBP One app. You guys hear about this? The CBP One app allows migrants to apply for asylum in the freaking Darien Gap before they even get here. So that when they get here, the border, we've got a nice air-conditioned airplane for you to climb aboard. All expenses paid. What, you don't have documentation? That's okay. Get on anyway. What happens with you when you guys try to travel? Want to know what it's like as a family of seven? It's stressful. Especially when your children are young. You got car seats, you've got strollers, you've got the scanning thing. You got to stand like you're a convict against the wall. Machine whizzes around you. If you're lucky, you'll get felt up along the way and a pat down, right? As these people, come on in. Where would you like to go? And then when they get here, oh, how about those prepaid debit cards? Is the black community getting that? Is the white community getting that? Well, the alien community is getting that. Joe Biden's administration has admitted transporting migrants on secret flights into the U.S., and lawyers for its immigration agencies claim revealing the locations could create national security vulnerabilities. Are you out of your mind? Do you know what's a national security vulnerability? A migrant who never should have been here, who was arrested in Georgia and New York and who was allowed to stay here, who then beat Lakin Riley's head in with a metal pole. That's a national security vulnerability. And Alejandro Mayorkas refused to even say her name. Hey, Charles Barkley, you know how you want us to say the names of all the people in the black community who you believe have been wrongfully murdered at the hands of police? Say their names. Well, why won't your administration say hers? Because blood is on their hands. But thank goodness Democrats are more worried about your ability to terminate your pregnancy than they are this. Customs and Border Patrol. They've refused to disclose information about a program last year secretly arranging flights for thousands of undocumented immigrants from foreign airports directly to U.S. cities. Absolutely. It means that while the record number of migrants were flowing over the southern border last year, the Biden White House was also directly transporting them right into our freaking neighborhoods. Sort of like Sault Ste. Marie, where a friend of mine contacted me in Michigan, where lo and behold, all of a sudden, 19 military-age single men were found milling around the downtown district. Well, you don't look like a Michigander. I've never seen you before. Why are you here? Well, use of the cell phone app is also allowed. Gotta love this. For the near undetected arrival by air of 320,000 aliens with no legal rights to enter the United States. But hey, we want them to vote. Kathy Hochul just said she's going to let them apply for all the jobs that apparently New Yorkers don't want to have. We want to fast track them into settling in and getting comfortable where everything is paid for and they can register, they can be approved, all of it. Thousands of miles before they even hit our border. And your Biden administration, Charles Barkley, that you voted for, thinks that's okay. Well, now, how are you going to feel about that race prism that you see everything through when something happens to someone you love? Is that going to wake you up? Damn well better. This is why Republicans say it's got to stop. It's just a matter of time before enough of these invaders heeds the call of jihad, global jihad, where it's baked into the fabric of who they are to kill those who are not. It's not if, it is when. And Joe Biden and Anthony Mayorkas, Anthony Blinken, and Alejandro Mayorkas, and Kamala Harris, and Pete Buttigieg, and Jennifer Granholm, and all these other people of suck have been down with this from day one. This has been the plan. Thank your local neighborhood liberal for making it a reality. Quick timeout when we come back. Let's talk about this. Pushing back against the suck is gaining popularity. Doritos. Well, time to change chips. Next. Well, from Bud Light to Doritos, can we say that the timeline of suck is getting shorter? Because it cost like $1.4 billion for Bud Light for Anheuser-Busch when they decided, you know what? It makes perfect sense for us to shaft the traditional Bud Light drinker who comes from all walks of life, right? It's the working man. It's the professional woman. It is what it is. But it's not a transgender dude. It's not. I'm sorry. And it fell so flat, and people were like, screw you. Liberty Safe, they stepped in it too. Screw you. Starbucks, Nike, all of them. Well, so Doritos. This is interesting. You want to know who's on their marketing team, right? Because you'd be like, hey, Earl, get in here. All right, look. We gotta have a marketing session. Sales are a little low. We need to spitball. Like, I love Cool Ranch, even though it gives me zoo breath the next day. I love Cool Ranch. What are we going to do to spark some sales? Well, let's get a dude who pretends to be a chick. I think that's a great idea. All right, let's do it. Somebody had that conversation at Doritos, and they weren't fired. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, did they get fired from Bud Light and just get a job at Doritos?
Doritos, this is from Fox Business. Doritos Spain fires transgender influencer over controversial tweets about doing thuggish things to a minor. Look, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with sexualizing kids. I'm done with normalizing trans. If you are a grown-up and you think that you've been born into the wrong body and you have the wherewithal, the means, and you're going to make that decision in your mind, you've researched it, and you're going to be like, look, I got to do it. Godspeed. I hope it works. Whatever. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to pay about it. I pay for it. I don't care. They're forcing us to care. Transgender influencer Samantha Hudson was featured in a 50-second promo on Doritos Spain Instagram account. How'd that go? Well, let's read about it. Doritos Spain, I think this was like less than a week, terminated their relationship with transgender influencer Yvonne Gonzalez Renedo, who goes by the stage name Samantha Hudson, after the company came under intense backlash for posting a video on Instagram featuring him. A spokesperson for Doritos Spain confirmed to Rolling Stone magazine that a short promo called Crunch Talks. Crunch Talks. Hey, Earl, get in here. Look, We need a super catchy phrase. All right. What's it going to be? Cheetos are kicking our ass. We need crunch talks. That's perfect. Let's do it. Sounds great. It's posted on Sunday. Oh my gosh, it's like 48 hours. Then it was removed on Monday. It emphasized that the video was not part of a larger brand ambassadorship campaign. The spokesperson also revealed that Hudson had been terminated from the company due to making controversial comments in the past. I'm no HR expert, but I'm just going to say, in today's age, after you see what happens when people are done with your suck, who wasn't paying attention to this? Quote, we've ended the relationship and stopped all related campaign activity due to the comments. Well, what kind of comments had been made? Hudson had made controversial statements on capitalism, the family, and even child sexual abuse. Who in the world didn't do their due diligence? Now, how is this any different, though? How is Doritos signing on with somebody who had a billion red flags, right? If just one person had thought critically and said, now, wait a minute. So you are thinking that we should put a video of a dude who's pretending to be a girl who's made lewd comments about sex and kids and families, that should be our guy. Even just for a little bit. That's where we're going. That to me is the first failure of about 1,000 that would ensue. What about these comments? Among other controversial alleged comments and posts that have resurfaced online, Hudson endorsed the abolition of the traditional monogamous nuclear family. Wait, that's the point, isn't it? Carve dad out of life. Tell moms, sleep around, just have an abortion. Create this toxic masculinity, make men effeminate and weak and limp. That's not what women want. That's not attractive any more than men out there want masculine women. I don't know about you guys, but tradition seems to work. Look at the Asian community. Look at Indians, people from India. What is it about these successful people? Traditional values. Respect for the family unit. Now, the one takeaway here is that Doritos figured it out pretty quickly. It should never have come to this. It's like doctors not doing their due diligence before pushing vaccines. Well, I should probably see what the known side effects are. I trust the CDC. I'm sure they're not going to lead us wrong. Everybody get it. It's magic. This is Charles Barkley, ill-educated, reading only the headlines, not knowing about what he speaks. That is the danger that we are up against, ladies and gentlemen. Hour number three. Holy Moses, is this day going fast. Hour number three of the Wendy Bell Radio program on tap. And I've titled it this, Enough is Enough. And we're going to go to a small New York school where a principal says to a certain group of people, pack up and get out. And it's a trend next.